Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Pinch of Pixie Dust, the podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa.
And I'm your other host, Mandy.
And we are here to talk to you about all things Disney.
As always.
Yes, so for today's episode, we are going to be doing a continuation of talking about Marvel's show, Loki, Season 2. So again, if you guys have not listened to the show, or, well, the previous show of ours, actually, or if you haven't watched the show and you want to, stop this episode, go and watch, maybe listen to the episode 1 through 3, and then come back so we can discuss the rest of the season together, because there will be spoilers.
Yes.
Okay, so the first question I have to ask you, did you enjoy the beginning of the season or the end of the season more?
I definitely enjoyed the end of the season more.
I agree. I feel like more was going on.
Yeah, lots of action.
Yeah, definitely more of like a Marvel show.
Agreed.
Still didn't love it.
No.
Still wasn't my favorite Marvel show, but better.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, if you listened to our episode 1 to 3 review, you would know that we liked it.
But just didn't love it.
Yeah, we liked it better than season 1. I think we gave it a 6 and a 6.5 out of 10, so
yeah.
That's not so too bad.
Average.
Yeah. So let's get into 4 to 6, and then we'll give our final thoughts at the end.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, so episode 4 is called Heart of the TVA, and it starts out with Miss Minutes showing Renslayer a vision of He Who Remains erasing all her memories. And Miss Minutes suggests that they don't need him, which I kind of agree. They really don't.
Mm-mm.
And it ends up that HWR's variant arrives at the TVA. And I say HWR, that's He Who Remains.
Oh, that's a good way to shorten that.
Yeah, because it's hard to write He
Who
Remains every
like
single time.
Yeah.
But yes, his variant arrives at the TVA. And they convince him to help fix the TVA, because as of right now, he's the only one who can do it. And Victor and OB, their work is basically based on each other. So it's like one of those things where it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Mm-hmm.
It's whose work came first, OB's or HWR's?
Yeah.
And they like, it's actually kind of a cute, like, moment, and they're asking each other to, like, sign their books, and,
yeah,
like,
it's sweet.
It's very cute to watch, and they come up with a plan to make sure the remaining timelines don't die. And B-15, we couldn't think of her name in the first episode.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, her name was B-15, and Renslayer take turns trying to convince General Dox to help them protect the TVA, and Renslayer kind of gets her way because she kills everybody, which
yeah.
was a really like hard scene to watch, honestly. Like, especially the way they did it was very gruesome. Like, you don't see it, but just the mental picture in
like
your mind,
knowing, like, yeah,
like I feel like that's worse than actually seeing it, because essentially
yeah.
they were like crushed to death,
yeah,
in like a cube. Like, oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
Anywho, Sylvie and Loki argue about whether the TVA is worth saving or not. Of course, Sylvie doesn't think so because they ruined her life, which I get. We talked about that in the first episodes as well.
Honestly, just kiss and get over it. Like, I'm not even here for, like, the Sylvie-Loki train that people were on.
No, I'm not
but
either.
But just, like, get over it.
And, of course, Loki wants to save the TVA.
Of course.
Yeah. But I agree. That's a good topic of conversation.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to like stop your
train.
No. But
that's okay. Do we think like Sylvie and Loki are a cute couple or not?
No, I think it's weird because it's a variant of himself.
See, that's not the part that bothers me.
Oh yeah, see, I think that's weird. It's like
I just think
yourself.
They are a terrible like mix.
Oh well, that too.
Like their personalities, like put aside that they're variants of each other, like they just don't. I feel no chemistry between them whatsoever.
No, I totally agree. I think it's weird that they shared that kiss in season 1.
Yeah. And I feel like they didn't really, like, push that as hard this season, which was good in a way.
Yeah.
But also, like, it kind of left stuff unresolved then.
Well, yeah, because it, like, was like, oh, that never happened.
Exactly. Anyway, okay.
It was weird.
Tangent.
Yeah.
Let me get back to the episode. So Miss Minutes takes over all the temp pads and basically the entire system of the TVA. Brad takes Victor to Renslayer and Miss Minutes. Loki prunes the other Loki. So if you recall in episode one, we were really confused as to why Loki didn't vanish from existence because he didn't prune himself in time. Well, you find out that he did it to himself in this episode.
So weird.
It is weird, but it makes sense now at least.
Yeah, it does.
Obi takes Miss Minutes offline. Sylvie takes over X5's mind and makes him prune Renslayer, which I was like, cheering because I cannot stand Renslayer.
She's a good villain.
She is, but I just can't stand her. Sylvie and Loki save Victor, and Victor opens the doors and volunteers to go out and carry out their plan to save the TVA. And unfortunately for him, he is instantly spaghettified, which is
what that is the funniest name of something, too. Anyway.
I honestly, like, think that's, like, what would happen if you got sucked into a black hole.
Well, yeah, it's like a real, like...
Depends on, like, the size of the black hole, actually, but...
But it's, like, a real term that people use.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I looked it up. I thought it was, like... Something funny when I was reading.
No, that's it's legit. Real. That's what happens, like, with certain size black holes if you would, like, go up across the event horizon.
That's insane to me.
Not good. Anyway. So anyway, he's spaghettified, and there's an explosion, and we fade to black.
Yes. Okay, so episode 5 is called Science Fiction, or Science / Fiction, my bad. Loki survives the temporal loom's explosion, but finds that everybody else in the TVA headquarters has vanished. He starts to uncontrollably time slip again, now across both time and space, and basically he's barely escaping the TVA headquarters, like spaghettifying issue. Spaghettifying? This brings him to branch timelines where his friends Mobius, Hunter B-15, Casey, and Ouroboros were reset to their original, like, lives, which it's very weird to see them all.
And I think Mobius's life was, like, the weirdest to see.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, selling jet skis, and he's kind of, like, like, there are good salespeople, obviously, but he's kind of, like, one of those who's, like, sell-at-all-costs kind of people. Like, I'm going to push this on you even if you don't want
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I'm kind of mad they didn't make him a race car driver.
Yeah, really? Why?
I don't know, because it's, like, Lightning McQueen.
Oh, I guess that's legit. I guess that's legit.
They should have made him more, like, working on, like, race cars. Like, they should have done something with cars.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about that, but yeah, that would be cute. But, like, everyone else is, like, kind of normal.
Yeah. But it was just weird to see them not in, like, the TVA.
Right.
Loki arrives in close proximity to these people who he does not know. Or doesn't... They don't know him. I'm sorry. Wanting to time slip before the explosion, Loki enlists Doug's help. Doug believes Loki's story and encourages Loki to control his time slipping. Loki focuses on his intent to save the TVA, but fails to time slip. And Doug basically proposes that Loki gather everyone to the present at the explosion back together so that they can, like, collectively temporal aura, like, can send everybody. It's weird mumbo jumbo that, like, I can't get behind this space.
Weird science fiction.
Yeah, space science fiction stuff. They basically build a temp pad. Loki passes Doug a TVA handbook that Loki kept, and he ends up time-slipping to Dawn's timeline, convinces Dawn to help by appealing to Dawn's wish to protect his sons. Doug arrives in Dawn's timeline using the team pad, or the temp pad, he built over 19 months. Using the temp pad, Loki and Doug gather Dawn and Frank to Doug's workshop. Loki then gets Sylvie at McDonald's. And Sylvie has retained her memories, but basically refuses to help because she just wants to live her own life. Sylvie gets Loki to admit his true motivation, and basically he just wants his friends back and fears being alone.
Which
was, like, so, like, sweet.
Yeah, and so relatable, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, whenever, like, I don't know, there's a chapter closing in your life, it's always hard to, like, let that go because, like, you know that, like, you're not going to see those same people and things will change, like... You know, when you don't, like, see someone every day, you tend to lose touch. So, yeah. Like, that's hard. Like, it happens, but it's tough.
Yeah, it's very relatable. Sylvie then encourages Loki to live his own life. And Loki basically gives up and declares that, like, everybody should return back to their normal, everyday lives.
However, when everything's in Sylvie's timeline basically spaghettifies, she recognizes that the branch timelines are dying and changes her mind to go and help Loki. But before the group can take action, Doug's workshop also ends up spaghettifying, as does Frank, Doug, Dawn, Willis, and Sylvie. At this moment, Loki finally learns to control his time slipping by focusing on a person instead of an event or a purpose. Loki time slips to a moment before Doug's workshop spaghettifies and tells the group that he can rewrite the story. Then time slips to before the Loom's explosion by focusing on Ouroboros. Or Aurora Borealis.
OB. Okay, which brings us to episode 6. And it's called Glorious Purpose. I feel like this was my favorite episode.
Of them all, yeah.
Yes. Even though, literally, like, it's a bunch of, like, time jumping. Like, that's all it is, really.
Yeah. But honestly, that's what this show probably should have been from the beginning.
The only problem with that is, then there's, like, never a problem you can't solve in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you can just restart over and over and over again, so there's not really any stakes at that point. That's the only problem I see with it.
Yeah, but, like, my argument, and I talked about this last episode, is I feel like there shouldn't be stakes in this episode, or in this series. I feel like Loki is such, like, a mischievous, like, fun character that they could have just had him, like, going through timelines and, like, using magic for things.
I feel like there has to be stakes, but I feel like everything was a dire circumstance in the series, and that was a problem.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like you take the stakes away, then what's the point? You know what I mean?
I guess.
Need some, but you don't need every single little thing to be dire like it was in this show.
Yeah, again, it just didn't need to be taken as seriously as it was.
I do agree.
But I feel that way about a lot of Marvel. I feel like everything is very, like, do or die at all times. Like, Ant-Man doesn't need to be do or die.
No.
It's fun. It's lighthearted. Like, we don't need serious at all.
All moments.
Yeah.
And I felt like at least the early Marvel movies did a really nice job at that, because there were always, like, funny moments that, like, offset, like, the seriousness of it all. And I feel like there were some of that in this series, but definitely not enough. Yeah, especially with, like you said, Loki being the god of mischief. Like, it should have been hilarious, and it just wasn't. Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. Anywho. So, Loki keeps jumping back to change the plan to save the TVA because it keeps failing. So, Loki actually keeps jumping, like, centuries of time. That way he can learn everything that OB knows. So, he knows how to try to fix the TVA. And it finally works. And then I wrote, lol, psych. They find out it's absolutely impossible to fix. So Loki goes all the way back to season 1 to stop Sylvie from killing He Who Remains. And basically, Sylvie and Loki fight over and over and over again, and Loki keeps jumping. And Kang is able to freeze Sylvie and send her away. And he knows everything that's already happened. Like, he knows that Loki's been jumping. He doesn't know quite how many times.
But he knows.
But he knows that it's been happening. And he basically tells Loki that it doesn't matter if he dies because he can reincarnate.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out also that Loki can freeze time, too. Like, in his jumping back, he learned how to do it like Kang does.
That's cool, though.
It is pretty cool. And the Loom ends up deleting all the branches that aren't the sacred timeline. And Loki decides, because of this, he wants to break the Loom. Kang says that if he breaks the Loom, he's going to start a war that will destroy everything, including the sacred timeline. And Loki vows that he's going to find another way. So he jumps to the very beginning of season 1. And you find out that Renslayer was Mobius's partner when they have this little, like, heart-to-heart talk, which was a really cute scene. Mm-hmm. And so Loki goes to Sylvie for advice. And he decides that, you know, this has to be me. I'm going to be the one who goes out to destroy the Loom. Excuse me. So he basically goes before He Who Remains so he can be the one who goes out. And it ends up that he revives all the branches with his magic. Like, you see this green, like, shimmery stuff going everywhere through the timelines, which is pretty cool to see. It's a cool visual. And because he saved all the timelines, you see him, like, at the end. He's, like, sitting in this chair in the middle of all the timelines, basically keeping them alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, a tree kind of, like, grow out of these timelines. And basically, it's supposed to be, like, the tree of life. And the TVA now, at the end, looks for Kang variants to get rid of them. And Mobius decides at the end to leave the TVA. And like I said, at the very end, you see Loki alive in the middle of all the timelines. And that is the end of the entire series.
I feel like it ended really well.
I agree.
I really did enjoy Loki kind of being the controller of the world, I guess, in a weird way.
Well, of all the worlds, really. Yeah. All the timelines, like, all time.
So I feel like for him, that's, in a weird way, very fitting.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I just, and I know that this was not, well, I guess they had to, okay, so here's my, this isn't making sense. I have to piece it together. So, question for you,
mm-hmm.
maybe. Obviously, Kang was originally supposed to be our big bad.
Right.
And as we talked about in the previous episode, some things happened. He is no longer with the Marvel MCU universe. So did they rewrite getting rid of all of the Kangs? Like, all the Kang variants? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and or, I don't know the answer to that.
Because if that's the case, why would he have been in other episodes of the show?
Well,
why would Jonathan Majors be Kang? Like, why wouldn't they have said from the beginning that that's what they were doing? Do you know what I'm trying to get at?
I do, but I think they weren't going to, like, re-film everything. Like, he was already in it, so, like, he was a part of it.
Right.
So I think, like, maybe that was written at the end so that they were getting rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if he would ever come back, they could say they missed one.
Right. And, I mean, that makes sense how they did that.
Right.
But I'm just curious now, like, what they're going to do for the new big bad.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if there's an answer yet.
Because I feel like, and hear me out on this, obviously this is not what they're doing, I feel like they could have made Loki a really cool big bad by having all of Kang's powers, all of the knowledge of all the universes. I feel like he could have turned into a really good big bad. Obviously, people love Loki so much that, like, that was never going to happen.
Right.
But I feel like they almost should have had another character do that so that they would have all of the knowledge and power of all the universes to maybe become the new Kang. Do you get what I mean? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud about it.
Okay, so super quickly, yes. I did some research while you were talking because I wanted to, like, hear what you had to say, and I wanted to see if there was an answer yet.
Okay.
Because I wasn't sure. So according to this, and it's from mtimesofindia.com.
Okay.
Again, I don't know if this is, like, a legitimate source or not, but this is what I'm seeing. It's saying that Coleman Domingo is being considered to replace Jonathan Majors as Kang. So that would mean that Kang would still be our big bad.
It just wouldn't be him.
And,
well, Jonathan Majors.
And that could make sense because one of his variants could just look different.
Right, and they could have missed it, like you just said. So that makes sense. I was just curious what you thought about it. Like, if you thought it was, like, a last minute, we have to change this, or...
And it might have been.
Okay.
Or that could have been the thing from the very beginning.
And then they were always just going to say, oh, we missed one.
Exactly.
Yeah, makes sense. I was just curious what you thought.
Yeah, I honestly think it could have gone either way.
Yeah, I was just thinking out loud, because I was like, how'd they sneak that one in there? Okay, so overall, any final thoughts? What would you give the last three episodes out of 10 overall?
I would give it, like, a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
I definitely enjoyed it a lot more than the first three episodes.
I'd give it about a 7. It was better.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, just, like, the science fiction stuff, like, gets in my brain, and I can't always comprehend it all. It confuses me.
I mean, I like science fiction. I mean, but it can get confusing for sure, because it's, like, concepts that are very beyond, hard, like, to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that in a way, because it makes me think. Mm-hmm. But also, sometimes, like, when I'm watching a show for enjoyment, I don't want to think. I just want to be entertained.
I agree.
So, it just depends on my mood, really.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
If that makes any sense whatsoever. I know that's, like, such a wishy-washy answer, but it's true. Like, I have to be in the mood to, like, want to think.
Yeah, like, I like to do that with myself with, like, Criminal Minds. Like, I love watching Criminal Minds because it makes me think, and it's, like, entertaining.
Yeah.
But after I watch an episode, I'm like, okay, I gotta watch, like, The Office. Like, I can't.
Like, I need something brainless.
I can't do this.
I totally get it.
Yeah. Any final thoughts about Loki?
Nope. That's it. That's all I got.
Tom feels right. Nope.
But yeah, I did like it a lot more than season one. I will say that.
I agree.
A last comment.
Yeah. Yes.
So we liked season two, I would say.
I would say so.
We didn't love it, but we liked it.
Yes.
You know what we do love, though, Alyssa?
What is that?
Our listeners, of course.
We do love them.
And we want to thank them now. This is for listening to the episode, The Santa Clauses, episodes 4 to 6. Thank you to our listeners in Nashville, Tennessee, San Jose, California, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Shout out to Bismarck, North Dakota, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, Winter Garden, Florida. Thank you to McKeesport, Pennsylvania, Bloomington, Indiana, Cold Lake, Alberta, and Canada, Cannonsburg, Pennsylvania, and last but certainly not least, Monroeville, Pennsylvania. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Well, everyone, that will do it for this week's episode. We want to know, who is your favorite character from the series Loki? Let us know on Facebook or Instagram.
At A Pinch of Pixie Dust Podcast.
You can also email us at pinchofpixiedust@outlook.com. And until next time, guys, we hope your lives are full of faith, trust, and pixie dust. Bye, everyone. We hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.